Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that God will meet you in this time with a fresh revelation of His love for you and that you will be challenged to align with the amazing plans that God has waiting for you. Here's this week's message from Pastor Claude.
So we're starting this new series called Better Together. And I think it's such a relevant topic for today. And I think sometimes we forget the importance of doing life together. And my message is called, you were not made to be alone. Can you say that to your neighbor, that you were not made to be alone? Well, when we look at what was before COVID and through COVID and after COVID, the reality is that there's lots of stress when it comes to relationships. And according to many studies, there's a rise of loneliness and isolation. And according to the U.S. Health and Human Services, in the U.S., they call it a loneliness and isolation epidemic. That's hard for a French guy to say. It's considered a crisis right now in North America. And actually, when you look at surveys even around the planet, the stats are that one out of four people is struggling with loneliness. And it's even higher among the next generation, the younger generation. And we are the generation the most connected in the history of humanity, but at the same time, we are experiencing loneliness. We call ourselves like the planet as a global village, but we've never been as disconnected. It's crazy when you think about it, right? When I was looking at the stats focusing on the next generation, I was surprised to see that they're the one that needs the most community. And the reason why studies are done is because there's some consequences to loneliness and disconnection. And it plays on addiction, it plays on depression, anxiety, general health, sin, solitude in dealing with crisis, suicidal thoughts, passivity, life satisfaction, eating disorders, dementia, and life expectancy. And there's a list of things. When I was looking at that, I was kind of very shocked by it. And research has also revealed that social media doesn't meet that need. Actually, those that are more involved in social media, they're the one that feel the most lonely, according to the Surgeon General's study. So loneliness is something that you can experience even in a crowd where you only have acquaintances. And when we look at social isolation, there's more of it today where people are disconnecting from community, and it's a real thing. It talks about having less meaningful relationships. And the reality is that God has planned us to live together. When you look at how God designed us for community, it's rooted in His very nature, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. When you look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it says, "Then God said, let us make mankind in our image and in our likeness." And so you can see the unity of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We also find in John 17, when Jesus is praying for us and He's interceding to the Father for His disciples, He says, "That all of them may be one, Father, just as You are in Me and I in You." So when we look at the Godhead, we see unity. When we look at how God created a people through Abraham, this is where God gave His moral law, the Ten Commandments, the civic laws of how to function in community, and religious laws of how to take care of the tabernacle. It was for a people. It was way beyond than just an individual. It was for people to come together. So that was the heart of God from the get-go, was to create a people that would function together, live together, and be able to stand together when it comes to the call that God has placed upon them. When we look in Acts chapter 2, we find the forming of the church, right? We see the disciples in the upper room waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit, and the church was born. And they did life together. If you look at Acts chapter 2, verse 42, they broke bread together. They prayed together. They met at the temple's court like we're doing now in the big assembly. But they also broke bread in homes and functioned as a unit. I don't think the church could have reached and be where it is today if it would not be from community. God knows our need of each other. And God calls us to live together. And you have this example in the epistles of Paul that we are his body and that he's the head. So that we're all members of a body. And like I said a few weeks ago, that's the local church. It's not just a universal church where people are just living their faith alone. It was never God's intention. God called us to live in community. We're better together. And so we want to see that. I want to go through a text that really, I thought, spoke to me when it comes to the need for each other. If you have your Bible, take a look at Mark chapter 2, verse 1. I'm going to read it from the NLT. And it's a story, a beautiful story of Jesus bringing healing to this man that was in need. It says, when Jesus returned to Capernaum, several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. And soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. I don't know how this homeowner felt about that, right? It was definitely not a roof like ours, right? Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus, and seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." And if you jump to verse 10, it says, and Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. Amen. Beautiful story, right? I love this story. You find these four guys that are bringing this guy that was in need, the fifth guy, and they make a hole in the roof, and then they see Jesus minister to this man. The first thing that you see in this text is that Jesus focuses first on the vertical relationship between him and the man. This is where he says, your sins are forgiven. Like the disciples, not the disciples, but the friends, they were hoping to see this guy be healed right now, right? But Jesus had another first agenda, was to reach the heart of that man. And I believe the most important thing in life is our vertical relationship with God before anything else. And we see the healing happening later on. Maybe you're here this morning and your relationship with God, your vertical relationship with God is not the greatest, and that you're disconnected with God. But I want to let you know that even though this was a huge crowd and a lot of people were there to hear the wisdom of Jesus, Jesus was focusing on the heart of this man. And I believe that it's the same thing today. Wherever you are in Winkler or here, Jesus focuses on your heart. And he wants you to experience him, and he wants you to receive him, and he wants you to be in a close relationship with him. And that's what we call grace. Maybe you came here this morning and your life is not aligned with his will. You came to the right place. Because the bottom line is that we all need his grace and we all need his help. And this morning, if that's you, you can't open your heart to the Lord. And it says in Isaiah 61 that we live in the year of the Lord's favor. And that means that you can receive from him. So whatever you've done, wherever you are, I pray, convey you to deal, to address that vertical relationship that you can have with him, because that's what Jesus came to do, right? To reconnect us with the Father. But there's also relational needs, or also God's called us to connect with other people. Yes, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is able and faithful to forgive our sins and to clean us from all unrighteousness. And that's pretty amazing. You come before God, you confess your sin, and he frees your heart, and he brings you back in relationship, or he brings you to a relationship with him. But at the same time, we also need horizontal relationships. If you look at James chapter 5, verse 16, it says, confess your sin to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. So we see the confession and the healing when it comes to 1 John chapter 1, but we also see the confession of our sins to one another. And this is where this is where it focuses on accountability. It focuses on first, you confess your sins to God, but then you walk with people. And so you might think, well, if I only confess my sins to God, that should be fine. Yeah, God took on himself, Jesus did, our sins, and we confess our sin, we receive healing. But if we want to walk in freedom, if we want to stay in freedom, and we want to see healing happen, like it said, it happens together. And there's power in the confession of the sins when we are connected. And when you confess your sin, like this matter, it's way more than through acquaintances. It's people that you walk with. Hey, I'm dealing with this, man. Can you pray for me? Can you walk with me? And this is where you open up, right? So there's a need for that. And that's what we find in James, and that's what James focuses on. Like, we confess our sins to God, but we need accountability. We need support. And the New Testament talks so much of together. And there's not too much individualism in the New Testament, but you can see people coming together. I remember many years ago, I did a lot of biking. It doesn't show now, but at one point, I was a little slimmer, and I was more athletic than I am now. And when I lived out east, I did a lot of mountain biking. I had a nice Y bike with a soft tail. For those that knows the bike language, I had XR components. Like, I had a very good carbon bike, and I did a lot of it. And so when I came here, well, there was more straight lines than hills, right? So I decided to buy myself a road bike. And so I did some cycling. I cycled everywhere. I would do a lot of cycling in the summer. And one day I was asked to come and do cycling in a Peloton. A Peloton is a group of people that cycle together. I was used to cycle alone. And so when I joined the Peloton, it was kind of weird because I had to watch when I pedaled because people were around me. Like, they told me, you got to put your front wheel close to the person you're following, the back wheel. Okay? So then at first I was very concentrated on the back wheel of the person in front of me. But as we went, you get used to it. And then we made this group and we pedaled. You know what I realized? And that's what the stats are. It's 20 to 40% easier to pedal when you're in a Peloton. Because there's wind resistance and you're being able to be hidden by others. And so I remember at one point I was in the back, I was enjoying the 40% free ride, right? And so one of the guys said, well, it's your time to go forward, to go ahead. And I did. And I had so much energy. And I was able to go and plow. And we were in the Pembina Hills. So it was not like a straight line. It was like up and down. But I really saw the effectiveness of a Peloton. And I think it's the same thing when it comes to the church. You can run and walk alone, but it's not the same. I don't think I can reach my true potential and my calling on my own. I need you. We need each other. It's a necessity to see our need of together. And if I would say one of the blind spots that we have in the church today is that we don't see the need of community. We don't see how of a big deal it is. And because of that, we are just lone rangers. Oh yeah, we might come on a Sunday morning here and there, but we're not connected. And I think it's such a loss because I believe that because we're not connected, we're missing out on the ministry of others, and we're missing out on our goal and our calling. So I've got a few questions I want to ask you this morning in relation to our text. Who's carrying you? Who's carrying you? Like, the reality is we all need carrying. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter your seniority or your faith and your journey, how smart you are, the degrees that you have after your name. But who carries you? Who are you accountable to? Who knows the real you? Who can you open up to and share your hearts and your need? I think it's a huge matter because I think there's not loss of that today where we are not carried or we're not letting people carry us. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, how many of you would like to fulfill the law of Christ? If you're a Christian, you want to fulfill the law of Christ. But look what it says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, carry each other burdens. And this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. So the goal or the plan or what reaches or what touches God or what's important for God is for us to carry each other's burden. So this is not abstract. It's walking with real people on real time on a regular basis, right? And so that's what we're called to do. And like I said, we all have stuff. There's no one here that doesn't have any stuff. From relational issues to addictions, health, emotional lows, sin, inner struggles, setbacks, work challenges, disappointments, stress points, discouragement, fear, doubts, fatigue, loss of focus or insight, and decisions. You could write your own stuff here, and it really shows that we carry stuff, but we are called to live together so that the example or the journey of the person to your right, to your left, you can draw from, and to have encouragement is a big deal. So we need to see the importance of that. Like when you look at scripture, it's all over. You look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. It says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." Can you say spur to your brother or to the person beside you? You spur another toward love and good deeds. You encourage, you motivate, you speak the truth, right? And so we don't want to miss on that. And it says in verse 25, "Let us not give up meeting together." Because we need community. We need others in our lives. Like, church is not about a Sunday morning thing, and you know that. That's the huddle. Like I said a few weeks ago, people will say, I'm going to the bush, that's my church. No, that's a place of maybe you worship, but the church is not a place. It's not a service. It's not an event. It's us functioning as a team where we're walking together so that we can all finish the race together, right? Second question I have for you, would you let someone carry you? Would you let someone carry you? Like, this guy had to say yes. This paralyzed man had to say yes. He didn't say, "I'm fine, I'm okay. Cripple on his mat, but I'm fine, I'm okay. And sometimes that's what we do. We are a mess. We're struggling with issues. We have family things, personal stuff, stress at the work. And then we don't want to be carried because, you know what? We can do it. You know, there's this pride that says, "I can do it. You know, I don't need others." But that's not what God had in mind when he did the church. When God instituted the church, it was to reveal to us that we needed each other. That's the plan of God. So when you say that you don't need, you go against God's plan, because God's plan was for you to live in community. And at one point, you have to say, "Yeah, can you carry me?" So you had these four good intention men that were there. And the guy could have said, "Oh, you know, if Jesus wants to heal me on that road, he's going to pass there whenever he wants." No, he was open for help. And it's sometimes it's difficult to receive help. Would you agree? Yeah, right? It's easy. It's hard to say yes because it takes humility. But the bottom line is that we're all in the same boat. We're all in need, right? And the reality is that there's a battle going on, and we don't want to be caught alone. Because I know what the plan is. The enemy, it's to isolate and target. You look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. It talks about the reality of the battle. "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." I don't know if you like to watch nature shows, but it's kind of cool to see a pack of lions when they look at the prey. They study the animals there, that group of animals and that herd of animals, and they look at the weak, they look at the young, and what do they try to do? Isolate. Try to bring them away from the group. And have you probably seen some pictures where they try to bring the young away from the herd, and then the water buffaloes, let's say we take them for example, they come in the way, and they make kind of a wall. You have these big beasts that are there, and you see the young in the back, and the lioness, they can't do nothing because of the power of unity. What a great picture, right? But the goal of the enemy, let me tell you, is to isolate you. for you to live on your own and for you not to open up. Like, yeah, it's kind of cool to have acquaintances, but we need to talk about soul issues. And I don't think we do that well. I think it's because we're afraid for people to know that we're struggling. But the reality, who is not struggling? Like, I stand before you today. I've got issues. I've got a list of stuff that I need help, and I need people in my life. I would not be here if it would not be because of people in my life. But I need to choose to be carried. I've got to say, yeah, I need to be carried. And it's okay. It's not a bad thing. I think, like I said, it was meant to be like that. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 10 says, if either should fall, one can pick up the other. But how miserable are those who fall and don't have companion to help them up. That's sad. Maybe you're here today. You have full of acquaintance, but really, if something would go south and things would go rough, you would be alone. You might say, I have my family that would be there, and that's fine, that's great. But what if you have a family thing? Because you know how that is, right? Where do you go? What do you do? So it's so important for us to realize that God has called us to live in community. Like, God has never intended me to live alone. Well, you might say, Pastor, I'm an introverted, so I don't like people. You might not like people a lot, but you still need people. And you might be saying this morning, well, I'm an extroverted. That's a perfect sermon for me. Yeah, yeah, Pastor, preach it. But maybe your relationships are so shallow that you're just a butterfly going from flower to flower, but you don't open your heart up. And nobody really knows you. You have a facade, you have a wall. And I really think that when you live this way, you're missing out. And I think it's a problem in the church. I really believe it is. That's why we want community. We want small groups. This is why you have a potluck for those that are here having a potluck. But it's important for us to have community, and one of the best ways through life groups. And we want to see that in Winkler and also in Morton, right? So my question for you, who's carrying you? Will you let someone carry you, right? And secondly, who are you carrying? That's a very good question. There's more needs than workers. Who are you carrying? Who are you carrying? In Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, it says, a harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few, and ask the Lord of the harvest to send workers into the field. Okay, we can say the world needs more pastors and more leaders. True. But at the same time, there's more needs than workers. God wants to use you. You matter for others. Think about these four guys for a moment. When they saw their friend be healed. Come on, right? Maybe they did a dance or something. I don't know how they celebrate, but they did something to celebrate, right? High five or I don't know. But they celebrated. It must have been such an amazing time, right? It was worth making a hole, even if it was not their house, right? It was worth putting the effort and to do what they did, because the result was amazing. They brought someone to Jesus, and the greatest miracle was this paralyzed man's sins were forgiven, and secondly, he left home with his bed under his arm. What an awesome picture. But it was because of these four guys that came together. You know, when we don't have any purpose, like, this is why there's more joy in giving than to receive. Because you can watch Netflix and Amazon, whatever, all night. But you go to bed empty. You really do. But when God uses you and flows through you, brings wisdom and brings care, there's something that satisfies our inner person. You know why? It's because we were made for purpose. We were made to make a difference. And there's all kind of things that comes our way to prevent us of lending a hand, loving, sharing. And so I need to question myself, who am I carrying? Who am I carrying? Who am I called to carry? Who am I called to minister to? Who am I called to be there for, right? And I believe when we do that, this is where we grow. We grow in faith. I like what it says in verse 5. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, your sins are forgiven. He saw the faith of these guys. You know, they were active. They were trying to find a solution. They looked at the door, can't go in. And Jesus is the solution. What do we do? This is where spiritual entrepreneurship came in, right? Oh, we can go up. So they went up and they made a hole. And like you see, like it's way different than being passive and just watching the parade go. See, your mind is active, your heart is engaged, and this is where you grow. Where do you grow? You grow when you place yourself before God. You grow when you say, God, how can you intervene in the church? How can you intervene in this community? And you engage yourself to say, God, I want to make a difference. And God gives you what you need to be able to do the difference. And when that happens, it's amazing that the result is really life-changing, right? And so we look at these four guys, and they grew in faith, they moved forward, their faith was activated in service. Can you say that to your neighbor? Faith is activated in service. It's activated when you serve. This is where you start to dream. This is where you get the download of God. When you place yourself before God, this is what I like to do as a pastor. It's such a blessing to say, God, what are you up to? What do you want to do? What do you want to do in our region? What's next, God? What do you want to conquer? And you put yourself before God. And it's amazing, God, what He's going to put on your heart to do. And so we want to grow in this. We don't want to sit in the back and miss out on what God has in store. Like, I want to let you know that God wants to bring healing through you. Who are you carrying? He wants to bring healing through you. And sometimes we doubt our effectiveness or our ability. Like, if you know Jesus, and you let Jesus in your life, you got a story to tell. Because you have some failures and you have some successes. And you're called to share that. You know, I was sharing a few weeks ago in Winkler. Like, I started to play pickleball because I need to move. And so, I play pickleball once a week. It's not a lot. But then you work on your serve. And I could spend, let's say if I would retire, I could spend all my days working on my serve, but it has no eternal value, you know? I've got to let eternity challenge me, realizing there's so much needs around, and God wants to use me for His glory. This is why the church is there. The church exists to give glory to God. The church exists for us to do life together because we can't do it alone. The church exists to be a vessel to reach our community and beyond, to be disciples and to make disciples, but that cannot happen without community. Amen. We could say we want the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, absolutely. We could say we want to have a great church service, absolutely. We want to invest in the kids, absolutely. We want to see that. But the bottom line, this will never happen if there's not a sense of belonging and a sense of commitment and serving each other. And so sometimes we downplay our abilities. We don't think that we're good enough, but the reality, none of us are good enough. It's just a story of grace. We are trophies of His grace, and through us, God wants to work through. Through us, God wants to minister to people. And so my prayer is that you would say, God, I need to be carried. Who could carry me? And secondly, who am I called to carry? I believe when we live with this desire of carrying people and letting people in, it breaks selfishness and isolation. Look at what it says in Proverbs 18, verse 1. It says, whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. So we don't want to live in isolation. We don't want just to hide ourselves in our basement and do life on our own. We want to reach out. We want to be ambassadors for Him. And we want to see God speak through us and move through us. I think it's such a necessity in the day that we live in today. That means that there's 2 days. You live today and today, right? So I said it twice. Sorry. That's.
Amen.
Thank you. Someone said amen. There you go. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Look what it says. That was the heart of Paul when it came to the church. It says, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? any comfort from his love, any fellowship together in the Spirit, or your hearts tender and compassionate, then make me truly happy. And this is what pleases the Apostle Paul. Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. And then he finishes, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Think of others as better than yourselves. That's in community. And after that, he talks about Jesus that lays his life down and offer his life to us, where he becomes the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Just as I wrap up this morning, do you have a vertical relationship with God? Or do you need to see your relationship with God be restored? You can experience this right now. You just got to open up to the Lord and say, God, come in, repent of your sins. Say, sorry, God, for my independence. Sorry for walking away from you. I repent. Wash me by your blood. Wash my sins away. And commit your life to him. And join the church. Connect with other people. Ask people to be part of your life. Secondly, who's carrying you? Who's in your life that knows who you are, that is able to help you out? If you have no one carrying you, you should look at building relationships that will help you when things go south, because we know that life is not a straight line. We need each other. Who are you called to carry? Maybe you're just doing life solo. Who are you called to carry? Ask God. And sometimes you don't have to ask a lot. You just got to look around. There's so many different needs, right? My prayer was, when I was preparing, Father, we need an awakening. We need an awakening to see the value of the church and why we're here. Because I don't think we see it. We see Sunday morning as a place we go to, not seeing that we are the church, God's habitation, and God's vessel of reconciliation. My challenge for you is that you would start building meaningful relationships and realize that we're better together. Amen? I would ask you to stand. Father, you're so good. You're so amazing. We're so amazing for your love, Father. We're so amazing for Jesus that gave his life for us so we can be reconciled with you, Father. We're so in awe of the reality of the presence and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that you are here by your Holy Spirit. And Father, you've given us the church. You've given us this group to live with and to walk with. Father, I just pray that we would not miss out on your plan, the plan of having people walk alongside of us and not to live life solo. I just pray that our hearts would see it this morning like never before, that we would see the need of community, that we would see the need of life groups, of having people that can ask questions, people that can hear my story, people that can pray, lay hands on me, not just once, but on a regular basis. Father, I just pray that we would be a community of believers functioning together, ministering to each other, at the same time having a wide open door to other people that are living in solitude, in loneliness. Father, we want to always have an empty chair in our circle because we know that we're on a mission. But first, Father, I just pray that as a church, we would see the church the way you see it and how you've planned it, not as only a gathering place, but as a body that functions together, a group of people that have relationships. So, Father, may you be glorified. And Father, for those that are here this morning and their vertical relationship is not where it should be, I just pray that you would quicken their hearts. I just pray that you would move upon them, that you would touch their hearts, that you would refresh them, that you would empower them, that you would minister to them on a personal level. Thank you, Lord, that we can never be too far or we can never be too deep, that you are always there and you're calling us to come to you. So may you be glorified and honored, Father. You're so amazing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.